I am sitting here on Friday, September 18th, 2009, with Naomi Nelson, my grandmother. Why don't we start off with where you were born and when?
Okay, I was born at Council Grove in 1929. When I was a year and a half, my father was working for Morris County, and they were building a road through the Highway 56, and they were cutting down trees, and he was killed by a falling tree. My mother was only 35 at that time, and it was Depression years, and she didn't have any training to do anything, and her biggest concern was maybe if she couldn't provide for us, that we would be taken away from her. When I'm talking about we, I'm talking about my brother and I. So we moved to my father's home west of Council Grove and lived there 3 years. My mother lived to be 94, never married again, and never learned how to drive a car. So we always had to, if we got to church, we always had to depend on somebody taking us. I remember when I was, I'm guessing about 3 years old, my uncle and his wife took us to church. They thought that I would be, this was the Christian church in Wilsey, and they thought it would be very cute if I would stand up and sing Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. My aunt made a little bonnet and a dress, a yellow dress. I can't remember if I sang the song or not, but I can remember bursting out in tears, and my uncle had to pick me up and take me out. Also, I don't know if it was the same day or when, but about that time, the Christian church always immersed, dunked the people underwater. And my two cousins, Rosen and Harold, were baptized by immersion. I remember there again, I cried because I thought they were drowning. So I was kind of a crybaby, I guess.
You were just very concerned.
Yeah. So then my mom still figured that she needed to get a job. So our neighbors knew a man that wanted a housekeeper. Mom was not paid any salary, but we lived there for 4 years for our room and board. So this man didn't go to church, but not having a salary or anything, my mom wanted us kids, especially at Christmas, to be in the Christmas program. So she asked him if he would take us. This was kind of a weird feeling for me because we went there, but I didn't know the kids and they didn't know me. So I don't know really, but also, then I go back to my mom. She was only 9 years old when her mother died, and she was baptized Catholic at Hope, Kansas. Then she moved into a foster home and lived with a Christian Church of Christ family, and she attended that till she got married to my dad. When we moved, then she got a job then in, I think, 1939 or 40. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old. She wanted us to be in church, and she wanted us to be baptized, and also she felt that she should be having membership at church in this little town of Delavan, which is on Highway 56 west of Council Grove, about 30 minutes. She joined, and we were baptized just by sprinkling or putting his hand, pastor, and his on her head. We had no instructions really, more than he wanted us to know the Lord's Prayer and the Creed. I can't remember much else. We were to memorize that. So that was all the training that I had. In this little town, there was a Christian church and also the Methodist church. We went to the Methodist church. The Christian church, I can remember them having revival meetings, and the Methodist church didn't really, maybe had a few, but not like the Christian church. So I went there to Sunday school. My mom was the telephone operator. She didn't have any help. She got $65 a month for her salary, so she really couldn't. Although once in a while she'd pay a girl $10 a month, but all, so therefore she wasn't able to go to church. If she had a girl there, she would maybe go to the ladies group, and she enjoyed that, because that way that was her only contact outside. She couldn't even, when I got into school and high school, she never could go to my functions. I think when we had junior senior banquet, she did get away to help serve the banquet. But I always felt it was kind of lonesome. And, you know, Christmas was always kind of lonesome because never much money. And it was just Mom and Bill and I. So it's kind of a sad story. But anyway, then, when the church, when I was about 15 or 16, there was a, what they called Methodist Institute, was held at Baker University. And the church gave, I think, $10 to me, and my mom gave $5 that I could, and this was not, that was only a week, but I went two weeks to this. This was so impressive to me at that, you know, that was something that I'd never had, you know. Yeah, you went to Sunday school and everything, but you didn't, to me, whether I was going because I wanted to or because the kids went to, you know, it, and whether Mom wanted me to, I don't know. I wasn't really all that impressed. But this camp really, so it was there that I said right then, if I ever find a fella that I will marry, I want to be in a church, and I want to go regular, and I want him to go with me. I mean, you know. So in 1948-49, I dated my husband, Gene Nelson. Well, he was a member of the Hebron Lutheran Church. And believe me, when I got him, we went to church every Sunday. And when we first was married, I think they had evening services. His parents, of course, were from the, it's a Swedish church, Augustana Synod. Of course, we've had two mergers since, and our church office is in Kansas City. And so now we're called the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But his folks were against dancing and card playing, and the thing to do in the 40s with my friends was to go to the movies on Sunday night. Well, of course, his folks didn't like this. We did it, mostly, but ever so often, to keep us from going, she would invite me to have supper to keep us from going to church. And this church also was very strict. I remember they talked about, like Leon Anderson said, men on one side and women on the other. And that year of 47 or 49, when I was dating, Janie took me to church one evening out in Hebron. And they had a Methodist minister give the evening sermon. And they said that was the first time that any other minister had ever stood in their pulpit. And my mother-in-law came from another little community, and they had Swedish services for probably 20, 25 years. She sat there and heard nothing but Swedish. Swedish. And I think how sad that was for her to sit there all those years. I think it was in the late 40s when they finally began to have the English services. So then, having that experience at that camp, when I had my two sons, it was very important to me that they go to church camp. And so Tom loved it. He loved church camp. David's experience wasn't quite as good. I think he was with a bunch of kids that was kind of ornery. And I can remember telling about one of the kids stole this candy bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard this?
I've heard the story. Feel free to share it, though. Yeah.
But anyway, I said, oh, David, he was from a poor neighborhood, couldn't you? No, he said, I wanted to teach him a lesson. So, okay. Tom was, in those days, I've been a part of Hebron now for 60 years, almost 60. And I've been a part of their women's group. We call it WELCA, Women of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Before I came here in 1950, they had what they called a mission women's group. And they took up money for missions. Missions was a big thing. Even when my two boys were in Sunday school, they had missionary Sundays, and they'd have a missionary come. And this is what influenced my oldest son, Tom, to be a missionary. He was really, and I think that David, he pretty much influenced David at the time to become a minister. So Tom did go as a missionary. Before going back, though, we sent him to our church-related college, Bethany College, Lindsberg, Kansas. And then They both attended Chicago Lutheran Seminary, and that's where David met his wife and Rachel's mother. Then, let's see, I'm losing what I want to say. With our women's group, our purpose, of course, is to make money for sending. Our emphasis isn't so much on missions as it used to be, but still, in these mergers, there's a program set up that there is money that goes out of the Senate for missionaries and everything. It's not now just the individual church, it's the Senate in general. Also, let's see. We serve funeral lunches or dinners. Our kids always, we work very closely with the Methodist Church here. It seemed to be, you know, in years before, everybody that lives in a little town of Burdick, they were either Lutheran or they're Methodist. But as the farm population has gotten less and people have died off, now we get people that come into our town. But it seems like there's been only two families that have actually joined the Methodist Church. It's easier for them to join the Methodist Church because it's a more relaxed atmosphere. If you haven't grown up Lutheran, it's hard. That form is not conducive to them. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I did teach Sunday school kind of when my kids were in it, although I always had the feeling when I first came here, people were so strict that since coming from the Methodist Church, I always had the feeling that they probably didn't think I knew enough to teach their Lutheran kids. You know, this is maybe my feeling. But there was several years before they even asked me to teach. And also we give money or something for nursing homes. We used to go and even give programs at nursing homes. But fewer and fewer. The thing about it is now is so many, the few people that are 50, 60, they're working. Even people in 70s are working. And so there's only about five or six ladies that aren't working that can go to these meetings. We used to have a evening group and a afternoon group. But now they just went to the evening group. Well, just like me now, I have no driver's license. And I live out in the farm where it's far enough sometimes if somebody can't take me. So I go when I can, but I not always get there. They say they'll come after me, but I don't. I'm independent. I don't want them to do that. The Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church have always had combined Bible school. And you have teachers from both. And I think that both boys enjoyed that. And then the Methodist ladies, in the spring, they always invite us for a spring tea. And then we usually invite them for some kind of a Christmas luncheon. And then Now, in with the merger now, this St. Paul's Church in Harrington is the same ELC as.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Peterson, which is serving us now, is not ordained. He's a lay pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But he's working to be ordained probably next year. In 2010, he'll get ordained. And he's from our town, so he knows us and we know him. So far, it's turned out real good.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our pastors, of course, there's such a shortage, even like the Catholic Church. There's mm-hmm. shortages in the Lutheran Church of pastors. And so we were having to rely on more lay pastors. Also, we're meeting in the second. Our first church was founded in 1884.
Hmm.
And they built the church, and then they tore it down they used to just meet in homes, and maybe later a schoolhouse. And then they built a parsonage and a church in 1884. Also, they built a barn for the horse and buggies. And then they tore that church down in 1934 and built the second one. And most of, they had a contractor, but a lot of those people in the 30s, the crops were bad, and people did have time to work on helping build that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good, sturdy church. We did build a new parsonage, so the old parsonage, and that was built in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of my life. I will say that Tom, as a missionary, went to Japan, Slovakia, and Malaysia, and he was gone for about 20 years. He was in Japan 12 years. David became a pastor, and he served Chicago and went to Alaska. So, but both boys became delusions. I don't know if I was proud that they had the faith. When I joined out here at Hebron, the pastor asked me if I believed in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know mm-hmm. what the Holy Spirit was. But I think I realize now, I think it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't what I did. I don't take credit for what I did. What became of my sons. They became good citizens. And I felt I was proud that they got as far as they did. I sometimes feel bad that they changed churches. But also, I believe that everybody has a right to do what they feel that they have to do. Thomas joined the Catholic Church now because he had some bad experiences with church leaders. And so that's the way I have. If you want to ask me some other questions, I've kind of...
Oh, I've got some questions. Well, you know, you went 25 minutes without me even asking a question. So, see, I told you could talk for a while.
Well, I've been thinking.
Oh, I can see the notes. That's great. Okay, so how did membership and participation with the church, especially once you were married and, you know, actually began to go regularly. How did that begin to affect your personal life?
I think, first of all, this was such a close-knit community. And like I say, you was either, you know, you went to church. I think the discipline and what you wanted people to think of you, you wanted to be the best you could be and be an example. And I wanted to be a good example to my children. I don't know that I always was, but, you know, I did what I thought I needed to do. I think the one thing that means, we have conflicts, and I think sometimes conflicts is okay. That's the way you grow. But it can go overboard. I like the feeling of knowing that if I'm sick, if something happens to me, you know, when my husband got sick and we knew he was dying for 9 months, you know, I had the community in our church. This means a lot to me, is to belong to a church body. Mm-hmm. And I have good friends. Of course, most of them are dying off now, and I look at how many years I have to go. It's not too many. And I have to have faith. It's all such a mystery what's ahead. Nobody knows what's ahead. But I would like to think that somehow that I'll see. I never knew my dad. Somehow I'll see him again. And my husband. And all the good friends that I've had through the years. I like the support. And now, you know, being alone, of course, my son's come back here and is taking care of me. I'm still able to, I think I'm taking care of him better than he's taking care of me. But, you know, not being able to drive, I lost my driver's license, which, you know, that's okay as long as if I can't, then I'm going to have to move into a city where I mm-hmm. can have public transportation or go to the nursing home or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think you're doing all right. there's still plenty of time.
But I think talking about the Holy Spirit, somehow there has to be a Holy Spirit that moved those boys to be what they are. Mm-hmm. And you look around and see miracles. And we've just had a miracle in 86. And now there's been two Japanese boys that have come through as exchange students from Japan. They come as from a town of 500,000 people. And they live just about 20 miles away from miles in our terms, away from where Tom taught. Mm-hmm. And is that not a miracle? You know, no, every day if you look around, there's always miracles. And you always think, yeah, the world's going to pot, but on the other hand, if you have faith and know that somebody's there to support you. And, you know, I say my prayers for my church and for my people in Kansas City every night, and Tom and Rachel and Lawrence, and, you know, it's, and then I always pray for my dear aunts that's gone, and my mom, and so it's faith.
Yeah. So what, and this I guess could be current or just in the past, what are some really unforgettable characters that you've met within the church?
Well, I think there's been quite a few different characters as far as pastors.
We had
this last one. Now, Hallie quoted him two or three times, mm-hmm. and he was very smart and everything, but he was not what I would want as a pastor. He wasn't mm-hmm. somebody that I could. I like a pastor that if you have a problem, you want to go to him. I remember I kept my mom instead of putting her in a nursing home, which I eventually had to do. And my kids were in the 7th, 8th grade, you know, and they kind of knew everything there was to know. And I had to have my mom here for 10 winters. That was quite a conflict. She tried to tell them what to do and give them advice, and they resented taking advice from Grandma. I could see that. And it was working on my nerves. In fact, I ended up in hospital a couple times, which I know was nothing but just stress. And finally my husband said, you know, your mother needs to go to the nursing home. And that was the hardest thing I ever had to do, was put my mother in the nursing home. That was harder than the day she died and having to bury her. But I did go to the pastor, and, you know, at the time, and I said, you know, this is getting to me. He really didn't give me much help, but what could he do? I mean, you know, he could listen, though.
Yeah.
Just listen. That's what pastors have to do, listen. And then when my husband was dying, we had a pastor that he knew he was dying, but he just never come down. So finally, I guess it was Tom or maybe it was David, I can't remember which one, that they went to him and he said, you've got to come down. And because Gene had been a faithful member all those years, and then when he was on his deathbed and still knowing something, and that pastor didn't show up. So you have good pastors and you have, you know,
not so good pastors.
Not so good. But I hate to judge, but mm-hmm. that's true.
They're supposed to be there
when you need them.
Exactly.
Some people in the years past, you know, it was like Pastor Youngquist that was here. He, like Hallie said, he would be there knocking on your door. But he's the only one we've had that seemed to care whether you was there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really expect them to be here all that much. But when you ask them to, and then they don't show up, well, that's bad.
Yeah, yeah. What about just, you know, church members that... just unforgettable characters throughout the...
Oh, I think you've always got, like you say, the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I like somebody else to do the work. We have two people now that tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. I do admire them. They have fairly good ideas, mostly time. But also, I also think that they need to be people-friendly and mm-hmm. include the rest. We had a couple other ladies when I first was married that were what I'd say leaders of the ladies' age. When they were gone and dead, it seemed like there's always somebody that rises up and takes over. We had a lady then that was called Inez. She told us what to do, but she was more diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, I'm the person that don't really, I can't lead. I feel a little inferior because I didn't have a Lutheran background. And I still have, I have a feeling of compassion still for the Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
because they got me on the right track. And I go up here, you know, like lately the organist had surgery and my Tom can play. So he, on Saturday night, he would go to his Catholic church on Saturday night. Then he and I would go to the Methodist church and he would play there. And it was timed right that we still, so he's taking me now and he's attending the Lutheran church.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd call him ecumenical.
Yes.
And like I told Rachel, he'll always be a Lutheran in his heart. But I think he's happy with being in the Catholic Church now.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone to two Catholic churches.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
The people are not friendly. He sees such a difference in Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very friendly. So he's settled on that now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like Evelyn said about the priest, they're getting, like, he's Vietnamese over here, and
mm-hmm.
you just can't understand him. And he's from a different Oriental. He's been brought up different, and he does not understand
mm-hmm.
the Bohemian people over here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like him. They can't hear, understand him. So
mm-hmm.
it's too bad.
Yeah.
'Cause we need, with the shortage of pastors, we need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. So you were talking earlier about, you know, just unique experiences growing up during the Depression. Could you maybe share your experience with that?
Well, the thing about it, where my mom didn't have a car, like I said, you know, she didn't have a salary, just room and board, and you couldn't, the only thing that we did at this, where she worked for this man, we always got to go in for groceries in Harrington on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I would get a nickel, and we would get an ice cream cone, and it would be two or three dips, and that was it. Never much for any gifts. I can remember the gifts I got. Maybe I got a doll one time from my aunt and uncle. But the one Christmas, Mom gave me some panties, but they weren't panties, they were down to my knees. I just was so disappointed. The story that I have, the saddest story I think that I have about the Depression, my mom needed to have her teeth pulled. Her teeth were real bad. And she had a dollar bill. And she went to the dentist, and then he was pulling teeth. And she left her purse out in the waiting room.
Oh,
and somebody took that dollar. Well, what she had planned with that dollar was to buy us hard Christmas candy. So with the dollar gone, we didn't get the hard Christmas. But that was one thing with Mom. We never went hungry. I mean, she always could bake bread, cinnamon rolls, and she canned, always had a garden. And you could buy bushel of peaches for $1 or $2. So she always had peaches and always had tomatoes. And I don't know about green beans. I guess she canned them. Now they say you have to pressure them, but anyway. So she always provided, but you know, our Christmas always was a little lonely. But we weren't the only ones. Everybody's poor, out of work, and you would have, when we lived with my grandpa, it was along the main highway there, and you would have bums, you know what a bum is, the people wandering without. I can remember so well that there was a family, a man and a woman and two children, and my grandpa had chickens, and Mom had just fried a chicken. And she gave them some chicken. I can remember them eating those bones. I can just see them yet. It was hard times. And even in the 40s, that was when the little Delavan had an air base out there. And of course we had people in there to build that air base, and that was a different, but they built on that air base about 2 miles, 3 miles, I guess, from Delavan North. They built a chapel up there, and they had Catholic and Protestant services in that chapel. I remember one girl from Burdick here was married in that chapel, and then it was moved. It was hard times.
How about you mentioned just briefly about teaching Sunday school. So I was wondering what your experience with that was and. Well, just kind of what you did with the children.
In general, the kids were all good. Mm-hmm. There was no discipline problems. They were good. And of course you had your book to go by, your leader's guide, and I really enjoyed the kids. I can't remember really how many years I did teach, but it was mainly when my kids were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Has Hebron, or you know, now or in the past, done any sort of like community service or activities?
When we had more people, we used to make Lutheran Relief quilts or blankets, you know, and send those. We've made lap robes for the nursing homes, and then we've always, it's been tradition, there's a metal hospital for, I think it's just for children, it's called Befugee Mission, although I think they've changed the name. But it's for mentally handicapped children. Maybe they've accepted, but we've always given to that. Mm-hmm. And we used to give to Bethany College and the nursing home out at Lindsberg, because that's Swedish. But it seems like since the mergers, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, then every year our little town has a Labor Day celebration, and we make our money at that by baking bread and serving rolls. And I think we made $140 on this now. And then some of that we give back to what they call the council clubs, and then we keep part of it for ourselves. We have been having, for I don't know how many years, we have had a chicken supper that serves, you know, we'll serve like 300 people or more. And that's getting more and more difficult. With, mm-hmm. And then the younger ones, they're teaching and can't get away. You have to fry chickens in the afternoon. That's one thing that I kind of put my foot down. I said, I've done this. We haven't had those suppers for all those 60 years. But I just can't stand to... You know, so we're going to have to give it up. And some people, you know, we just still have to have it. But the money we make on that, we can make over $1,000. Thrivent Lutheran organization will match with matching funds. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the ladies get their group. Also, with the ladies' money, of course, there is no men's organizations. In some Lutheran churches, they did have. I don't know this anymore. But the ladies, like if we shingled the church, or maybe we painted the church, mm-hmm. and you know, there's always upkeep. You know, to keep the. It's a good, sturdy church building, but still, and then you have to. You know, there's heating and cooling and all that, mm-hmm. paying the preacher.
Yep. So, well, I guess I was going to ask about kind of economic issues. I mean, but you kind of covered it there. Is there anything else as far as,
I think that, we're seeing, you know, people aren't going to be giving like mm-hmm. they did because, yeah. Some of the younger people, well, like the girl that is teaching school and has three kids, she's not going to give much. And now, when I was first married, you had a committee that would come around and have you pledge how much money you were going to give.
Mm-hmm.
But that got to be, people resented that, and so they kind of did away from that. I just kind of have in my mind how much I want to give every year, but like I say, as I see, I'm saving some financial problems, and I don't think this year I can give like I did last year.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's going to feel that. Now, like Hallie and the Novaks, they have oil and they've always had been well fixed, but still, they've got children now that need some money, and so, mm-hmm. you know, and Bob's 82, and Leon is 83, and, you know, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, how, was I going to ask? Okay. Have there ever been times where either your faith or religion or even maybe the church was maybe at conflict with things going on in your life or things that you were believing at the time? Was there ever any sort of conflict there? Or and kind of how did you handle that?
I don't think so. I'd say the only conflict that I think that really affected us that much was when Jane was dying, the pastor mm-hmm. didn't come.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Jane was on the church board many, many years. Not concept, you know, but now... I was never asked to be on the church board. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel bad not being asked. I don't ever think that it was anything against me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've always had my mom, or I've always had, you know, I don't think it's because that I wasn't Lutheran to begin with. I think it's mm-hmm. just that they didn't ever, you know, ask me. And that's okay. I don't really want to be.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I really don't want to be. Mm-hmm. Like Leona said, it is a good education, because you don't realize until you get on there all the decisions that, mm-hmm. you know, have to be made.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got to set up a budget and all this whole thing.
Yeah.
And, so I think they probably know that I'm not very good with figures, and they probably know I don't have good sense. So.
So what, and has there, you know, we talked a little politics today with Hallie, so I was wondering if there have ever been, I mean, and since you're, you know, fairly aware of what's going on at the, you know, just issues with the Lutheran Church in general, not necessarily here in Burdick, but, have there ever been times, political issues that have been going on within the church or within the community that you've maybe been on, you know, on the side of, or maybe you've been in conflict with?
I don't think so. I don't think politics really has ever gotten into our church.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised that Hallie got into it that much, mm-hmm. but, you know, the community is basically, in the years past, has all been Republican. Mm-hmm. We only have, I'd say when they have their elections, it's just two or three that's ever put on the Democrat. Although, mm-hmm. I think with President Obama, people have liked him, and there's been some crossovers, but I don't know that anybody would talk about voting Democrat, because you're in, but there again, with different people moving in, we can't say that we're Republican across the board anymore.
Yeah,
because we don't know how people are voting.
Sure.
More than just the old standbys.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mary Dean, we have the Andersons, of course, they're both Democrat, but they're never on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But the Butcher, and there's very, very, not more than three or four people that are the original people.
Mm-hmm.
The station is in its second generation. Phil there, the mm-hmm. filled up the gas, he's second generation.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think that we've ever had any political, that's mm-hmm. just been off the...
Yeah, and even political issues that maybe...
Now,
the,
of course, the, like she said, you know, they've voted in the Senate now about these gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know, say, Mary Dean, she had a cousin that was shot and paralyzed because he went in a gay bar.
Mm.
So she has feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I feel like everybody's equal.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have a right to be either Catholic, Lutheran, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let them live. I don't. The only thing we see out here now would, if we had a gay pastor and he had a friend,
mm-hmm.
How would people accept that?
Yeah.
We've never had this situation before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that... Well, and I think that even a lot of... I don't think it's necessarily all that common yet, even though they have passed that legislation. That's...
Well, it's just been passed, and it's still, you know, a lot of controversy. And
sure.
And then I've heard that there's another group that's going to rise up against that.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So you know how it all works out, and when you get this age, why, so be it.
Yeah. There's no use getting riled up about it, right?
I can't get riled up about politics. And I did vote Democrat because I liked Obama. I thought he had... I feel bad now that he's getting into so much trouble,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, people are so shallow, you know. And I think the news media just plays an awful big part in how people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just...
Yeah. So what... how do you see the future of the church over the long haul?
I think that we'll hang on as long as... as we can.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, Jane, several years ago, when they were going to do this church and, you know, do that over again, why can't we go together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But a Lutheran doesn't want to be a Methodist, and a Methodist doesn't want to be a Lutheran. Now I can see if they have... they call it in communion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, they've been in communion with the Presbyterians. Now they have just voted the Methodist. So, yeah, we could have a pastor live in our parsonage. Now, they don't have a parsonage up here. He comes from up by Junction City.
Mm-hmm.
He could live in our parsonage. He could give us a Lutheran service, and mm-hmm. he could come and give the Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, you know, could work
mm-hmm.
if they let him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
do you think that that's something that pastors would feel okay doing? That a Methodist pastor doing a Lutheran service?
I think
service?
A lay pastor that's just going into it, I think an older pastor maybe wouldn't be so... and want to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But a younger pastor that's just maybe being ordained and can work with the younger group.
Sure.
I think be open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could work if they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know when Jane brought this up, you know, nobody, that just won't work. And they spent all kinds of money with that up there. But they said also, you know, that can be used as a community. But now they have that new house there that I said the girl takes music lessons.
Mm-hmm.
They have four kids.
Yeah.
The pastor has four kids. And then there's a few others. They've got about 12 kids in their Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've just run out of kids.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know, with being linked up with Harrington, where they don't have a Sunday school. They have a Wednesday school where mm-hmm. they go in there to their Sunday school, and they mm-hmm. feed them a meal. This gets a lot of the kids that don't have... their parents aren't
mm-hmm.
going to church, and they're hoping that they're planting seeds in those kids' minds, maybe in time. Tom talked to Dunlap Church down south of Counts Grove, and I think there was 8 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 3 boys or 4 boys that came in there. They give them breakfast and have juice and rolls and things like that just to get them. Like they said, they probably wouldn't have breakfast or anything to eat anyway.
Yeah.
And that way, maybe someday they'll say, well, they did that for me. So
mm-hmm.
that's part of your mission, is to try to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we just don't. Everybody around is, and we don't have farmers. There again, we don't know what. That's why I chose James, a 30-year-old. He was the only young farmer in the community. That's why I got him to farm here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, all of our farmers that are here, which is not more than about 6 at the most, they're 60.
Yeah.
You see, so you wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we're hoping he'll buy this farm. There again, he may not ever be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it might be somebody else that comes in here. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to address?
Who else? I think maybe I when I joined out here, you know, I didn't have to go through the confirmation. I just...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As an adult
I think that's basically all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for coming out and finding out who my friends are.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. It's been really
and
great.
You'll be back because you'll... be out to my funeral.
Oh, I'll be back before that.
But,
don't worry.
You know, this is one thing when you look ahead. Yeah, my stone is out there. I know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with my friends. Of course, there's a lot of people out in that cemetery that I don't know, but, you know, a lot of them now in 60 years, there's quite a few of my friends out
mm-hmm.
there. All right, now Tom has joined the Catholic Church. He said, I don't want my ashes, I don't want to be buried, you know, anywhere. So I imagine if I'm gone, it's going to be your brother to decide what to do with him. But anyway,
yeah,
I guess we'll not worry about it now.
Well, on that happy note.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you so much.